ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय तो चैप्टर 10 टेक्स्ट 12 यता साक्षु मनो बुद्धि त्वग्द्रुग्ध्वस्तबन्धनः आस्थितः परं योगम् न देहं बुबुधे गतम् एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिदान स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद ट्रांसलेशन दधीची मुनी कंट्रोल हिज सेंसेस life form, life force, mind and intelligence and became absorbed in trance. Thus he cut all his material bonds. He could not perceive how this material body became separated from his self. Purport. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram yah prayati samad bhavam याति नास्तत्र संशयः. Whoever at the time of death quits his body remembering me alone at once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. Of course one must practice before one is overcome by death. But the perfect yogi, namely the devotee, dies in trance thinking of Krishna. He does not feel his material body being separated from his soul. The soul is immediately transferred to the spiritual world. Tyaktva deham punar janva naiti mam iti. The soul does not enter the womb of a material mother again, but is transferred back home, back to Godhead. This yoga, bhakti yoga, is the highest yoga system as explained by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita 6.47. Yoginam api sarvesham mad gaten antaratmana shaddhavan bhajate yomam same yukta tamo matah. Of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. The bhakti yogi always thinks of Krishna, and therefore at time of death he can very easily transfer himself to Krishna loka without even perceiving the pains of death. Hare Krishna. I think this chanting of Hare Krishna is the best Bhagavatam class, because our noise will be louder than their kitchen noise, because otherwise we find it difficult to hear. Anyway, we have to tolerate and continue. So here also we see Dadichi Muni, we are hearing this narration that the demigods, great personalities on the order of Dadichi Muni, went to him to ask for a very special charity. Sometimes we see people asking for money, car, house, and people give it. It's also difficult to give. Even to sometimes give out a rupee is difficult, even for a millionaire. Give out a single penny is difficult. But here, Dadichi Muni is not being asked of all his property or whatever he might have, we don't know. But he is asked for a very unique donation, that is charity of bones. Dadichi Muni is, the demigods wanted all the bones of Dadichi Muni so that they can take the bones and prepare a very special weapon called Vajra, so that they can defeat the demons. So because Dadichi Muni was a great saint, performed a lot of tapasya, he had a lot of power within himself, and therefore his bones were described as very strong, and that was the choice of demigods to ask from him according to the will of Supreme Lord. And although initially Dadichi Muni appeared to behave as a reluctant person, not giving some argument that why he should not give his bones, like a normal, sometimes in a joking way. But ultimately, when demigods gave proper answers, he is ready to give up his bones. And very nicely, sitting in trance, he has controlled his mind, senses, life force, and very peacefully giving his body. I have seen sometimes we call he died peacefully in sleep. That is very illusory statement. The body may be sleeping peacefully, but the mind was undergoing great turbulence in the ocean. Like tsunamis were coming one after another in the mind, just disturbing the mind completely at time of death. This death is the greatest material misery. Maybe there are a lot of duties coming and we can move a little forward right now only. Otherwise, we'll have to keep disturbing ourselves in the... We can move ahead a little bit. Just we can move a little ahead. Some duties are standing outside. There's a lot of gap over here on the right side. So, it may appear that we are dying very peacefully. But actually, a great turbulence might be happening in the mind. And actually, it happens. Although it appears that the devotee or the man is sleeping or is in coma and he just left in a nice simple way. But in the mind, it's not possible. Just to give up 1 rupee which we have creates a turbulence of thoughts in the mind. Shall I give him? Shall I not give him? I will use in this way. I will use in that way. To give up 1 lakh of rupee, give up some best clothes which we may have, or we have earned money after a lot of hard work, and then we buy a car, and suppose we lose a car, it is stolen away. It creates so much. We can't forget the simple incidents of a, not so simple, but still, simple incidents of car being stolen away, new car, for months together, or also years. We are so attached to, we remember when I was 10 years back, somebody just pickpocketed me and took away 100 rupees, something like that. We still remember it. It's so difficult to forget something being taken away. But a time of death is so terrible in one sense that everything is taken away from you, whatever you have. Not only 100 rupees, 500 rupees, car, house, or whatever it is, property, bank balance, business, designations, attachments, family, identity, whatever you can think of, anything with relation to this body is taken away in one swap. And it can't be peaceful. Just it simply can't be peaceful death. We can't be peaceful even over losing 100 rupees. It's, we have all experienced it. We remember it for many, many years together. We can't be peaceful of losing a tournament in our school days. We remember it for many, many years. I lost a match or something like that. We can't be peaceful. But at time of death, everything is lost. Everything, sum total of whatever you achieved in this world, giving hard labor for millions of, not millions, but hundreds of years or tens of years. In this, Kali Yuga life is very short, so only tens of years. But what it is, we have put lot of hard work into achieving our bank balance, house. We pay EMI for 20 long years and then buy a house or a car. And then, at a time, and then actually we spend more time paying EMI then staying in the house without EMI. Generally, we pay EMI for 20, 25 years. And then by the time we are 50, and then we stay for 10 more years in the house. So, and then we think, oh, everything has to be given up. So, we can say that death is very peaceful experience. Death is very joyful. Means some, for some people, he died very peacefully. But those of you who had been in medical field, they might have seen some patients dying. And somehow that I also saw only once I went in one hospital because one of our devotee's father died and his body was still in the hospital. It was cardiac unit. And just in a patient nearby, just 2-3 patients side, one man was there who was having some heart problem. He was not very serious. But suddenly at one point of time, his heartbeat rose up or something. And he just started, he was sleeping. Up till that time, he was so weak that he can't move. But suddenly at that point of time, I was just looking around. He was sleeping, but he started jumping while sleeping like that. His body was jumping and his heart was pumping so strongly. Immediately all the sisters and everyone came and started to pacify the heart and everything, give some oxygen. But I could make out, although he was sleeping and weak, but that just not even it was not very close to death also, but just that pain of or even thought of the for the soul to give the body was creating so much pain in his mind and the body that he was, it was like it could be seen that somebody is snatching away all the things from him. The soul is now experiencing that I have to give up everything. I have to give up my family, I have to give up my money, I have to give up everything. And that pain, just like we may be pulled away from our, say there is some bad times, there is no law and order, and somebody just comes into our house and there is no law and order, so he is more stronger, and he just comes and starts throwing you away from the house. What we'll do, we'll just try to catch up whatever we can, a gold ornament, a car key, a checkbook, something, we'll just try to catch up. But this man is so strong that he just snatches away one by one everything. He even removes your clothes and then sends you out on the street. And so death is like that. While dying, we see just everything is lying over there. The checkbook are there, the family is there, the wife is there, the children are there, the property is there, but Yamdutas come and we are trying to hold up everything. At least something. At least a key of the car which I can hide somewhere. Something we try to hold up. But the Yamdutas, like these dacoits, are thorough enough. We can't keep our own body. What to speak of clothes on the body? As I said, we come naked and we go naked. And what to speak of naked? We can't even keep our own body at a time of death. The soul is forcefully just snatched out. And just, we can't even actually imagine the pain. The pain can be only experienced. There is no, we can imagine some pain of, if we have some closer experience to it. In this material world, we generally lose one thing at a time. We lose either money or sometimes name or wealth. But losing everything, we have no experience close to it. We have no experience. It's only death in this life and the previous birth. So you should understand this death is not an easy thing to accept. And here Dadhichi Muni is accepting joyfully, willingly. He knows, no, I am giving up my body. And he's in trance. He's happy. Why? We should understand that he is in spiritual consciousness. Chant and be happy is what Srila Prabhupada told us. Chant holy names and be happy. Somebody say, no, to become happy, we can have more money or a beautiful body or a nice property. My dear friends, go out and show me one man in this whole world who is not a pure devotee, and show me one man in this whole world who is thoroughly happy and completely satisfied. Go out in the whole world, from America to Antarctica to Europe, Africa, Asia, Pacific Ocean, wherever you can. Try to find out one single man who is completely happy and thoroughly satisfied. He is thoroughly happy, joyful and completely satisfied. We can find many men who have a lot of wealth. We will find many men who are too beautiful or strong or fame or president or powerful. But we will not find a single man in this whole world who is not a devotee of the Lord, who is completely happy and thoroughly satisfied. That situation is simply not possible. And the most wonderful, not wonderful, but the most striking thing is that everyone is trying to be completely happy. In this whole world, 100% of people are trying to be completely happy and thoroughly satisfied. But none of them are completely happy and thoroughly satisfied. We should think over this point, why it is so. Although all the people all over the world are trying, I want to be completely happy, thoroughly satisfied. No one is trying against it. But not a single person in this whole world, not a single person in this whole world can claim, I am completely happy and thoroughly satisfied. So you should understand, this is right, Pashyan Apina Pashyati. This is there in front of us. Sometimes we say, how can the meaning of Gita be a secret? It's open to us. There are so many secrets in front of us. This is a big secret in front of us, but we can't understand it. What is this big secret? 100% of people are trying to be happy and satisfied, but 0% of people are completely happy and satisfied. They are trying in the same way. They are trying to become happy and completely satisfied by achieving and attaining more and more material assets. And they can't see that none of them have become. We have to understand that in this world, we can never become happy and satisfied up till we have a body. Body we will all will have, we can't give up. But up till we give up bodily consciousness. The Rishi Muni could face death completely peacefully and joyfully because he was beyond bodily consciousness. In this material world, we may do any philanthropy, feeding the poor, clothing the people who don't have clothes, giving charity. But my dear friends, can't you see, no one is happy and satisfied completely. With all the philanthropy, giving money to others, or earning money for self, or earning money for the family, or providing material assets for other people or for our own self. Can't we see in this whole world, not a single man can say, I am completely happy and thoroughly satisfied. Some of us can be for a second, maybe when we win the World Cup or whoever wins. But that's only for a second. Immediately the next second we think, we have won the World Cup, but tomorrow my boss has told me to work for 14 hours. Gone. That illusory happiness and joy can come for a second. Or we may win a World Cup and then tomorrow somebody will fall sick, have a strong cramps in the stomach. So it's, first of all, it's very difficult to be completely happy and thoroughly satisfied. And somehow that we may come close to it for a momentary second. And the next second we are down again. No one can claim to be completely happy and thoroughly satisfied for remaining part of throughout his life. It's such a far-fetched idea. I am completely happy and thoroughly satisfied for whole of my life. What to speak of a second? That is also difficult to attain, to speak of. It is said that sometimes the people in the company on the higher levels, they try to please people on the lower level by giving them some promotion or some financial increment. But statistics have shown that dissatisfaction of financial increment remains at the most for a week. After 1 week we say, what is this? 5,000 to bada hai. This is nothing. Still the money is very less. It remains only for a few days. Actually for a few hours, something remains for a week. And after a week we are back again, cursing the company for paying us less and think all these things. Do you understand? This is a very common point. This is secret in front of us. 100% of people are trying to be happy and satisfaction, but none of them are because they are on the bodily level. What to speak of at the time of death, even in the any moment throughout their life. So this reality has to completely dawn on our consciousness that we can be only happy and satisfied throughout our life only when we give up bodily consciousness. In this material world, people sometimes ask, what about philanthropic activity? Show me after philanthropic activity somebody has become completely happy and satisfied. No. You give them money. Yeah, just like when we get increment in our payment, similarly even sometimes we give them some charity, still people curse. I need more. What is this? Only 1 lakh rupee I got, or I got only one room, kitchen, house. Government gave only 320 meter square feet house. Always unsatisfaction. This is the nature of material world, or especially human beings. Human beings equal to lamentation. Yeah, that is in the scriptures. Animal-like equal to fear. You see, animals, they are always fearful. Looking here, they can't even eat peacefully. If you drop a food on the road, a crow will come, but he will look. Even while eating, he is looking. Is someone coming me to attack? Is some car coming me to go on me? Is another dog coming or a powerful crow coming? They can't even eat peacefully. They can't do anything peacefully. Always a consciousness of fear is there. Similarly, human life means always a consciousness of lamentation. Whatever we may have in our possession, it doesn't matter. You may have lakhs of rupees or crore of rupees. If you are a human life, If you are thinking I am this human body, human consciousness, it is equal to lamentation. Our life will be full of lamentation. Always lamenting, this happened, that happened. Or some lamentation will always come. My dear friends, to be actually reach that Divya Ananda stage, which can't be described in the words fully and can be experienced only when we reach that stage, we have to give up the bodily consciousness and the bodily attachments. Till we have any lingering or tinge of I am this body, I am man, woman, male, female, strong, beautiful, weak, Indian, intelligent, less intelligent, strong, less strong, both. Just like we say pap and punya is the same, similarly infinity complex and superiority complex is the same. We have very high, this story about Bhaktivedanta Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada's instruction to him has gone deep into my heart, and I will repeat it here. Such in short, simple words, Prabhupada gave such a powerful instruction. Once, when Srila Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, his holiness, was new into the movement, he has joined the ashram. As it was apparent to him, he was feeling that even though he is staying in a temple and he is having, he is with devotees and there are other devotees, he was feeling that I am being discriminated against because I am black. When I am black bodied, there is still some discrimination in the devotee circle. And he took this complaint and went to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada, I am very sorry. He did not exactly complain, but he did in a very humble mood. He said, Swamiji, Prabhupada, I am very sorry to inform you that although I am living in the temple amongst devotees, but still there is some racial discrimination over here. What did Prabhupada answer? Prabhupada answered, if you feel bad for being discriminated against, then how are you different from those who are discriminating against? It's a very deep answer. If you feel bad for being discriminated against, how are you different from those who are discriminating against you? Because both are acting on the bodily level. To discriminate against somebody on the bodily level is I am this body, white in that context, and you are black. And to be discriminated against is the same. Oh, I am black, so they are teasing me. And these are white. And Bhaktivedanta Maharaj was completely convinced. He was completely convinced by these few words of answers. He came out completely happy. He said, yes. How I am complaining these people are not behaving properly, they are discriminating against me on the body level. But if I am feeling bad for it on a personal way, then I am on the same level. I would have done the same thing if I would have been white and others would have been black. I would have done the same thing if I would have been Indians and others American, Brahman, others non-Brahman, whatever it is. Strong, weak, man, woman, fair, black, whatever it is. This is very important. Prabhupada is so answering such a choice words. My words may be a little wrong, not exactly what Prabhupada, but this was the mood, this was the instruction which he gave. That you have to understand that they are doing it on the bodily level and you are feeling it on the bodily level. Both will be sources of miseries. If they are not going rising above their bodily level, you rise above bodily level. That was his instructions to Bhaktivedanta Maharaj. You rise. How are you both different? Please get up above this bodily level. And therefore you should understand, even if we are devotees, sometimes we feel I am devotee, but where is that chant and be happy? I am chanting, but I am not happy. Yes, we will become in due course of time. But if you want to become happy right now, we have to give up this body. In the sense, at least the attachment part of it. We may not be able to give up the body physically. That will take its own course of time, 10, 20, 30, 40 years. Whatever may happen. But you have to give up the attachment with this body. Then only we can be happy in this world. Otherwise, lamentation. And therefore, we see Dadichi Muni over here. Because he is beyond bodily consciousness, he is completely happy. He is not at all feeling the pain or pinch of giving up his body. In this material world, when a devotee is Krishna conscious, not that his body doesn't suffer, not that he doesn't get insulted. Sometimes we get this idea, oh, I am no devotee, Why so many troubles are coming on me? Why are I am getting insulted? Why I am getting diseased? You have to understand, till this body is there, these things are going to happen. As Prabhupada told Bhakti Siddhartha Maharaj, rise above it. Similarly, we have to rise above this body. To be not in being influenced by these insults or all these things which are related to this body. Although these things will be present, but we will not be influenced by it. Because our mind will be engrossed in Krishna consciousness. Just like sometimes we see the child, he is not eating. You know, these mothers, we have mothers over here. This is very common, we can say, activities or pastime. The mothers are trying to feed the child and child is not ready to eat. He is closing his mouth. But then mothers try to bewilder their mind. Oh, see, a crow has come. And crow will eat, otherwise you eat or something like that. And the mind of the child gets attached to something else and he eats it. And then for the next spoon, there should be some another thing to happen. And in this way, slowly, the mother feeds the whole meal to the child. Similarly, we should understand this body is not going to give us a lamentation, it will always be misery. Our mind has to be removed from it and engrossed into Krishna. When the child's mind was removed from refusing food and engrossed into some other activity, he could perform the activity. Similarly, we have to remove our mind from this bodily on our human body and then fix on the Krishna. That can make us really happy. Otherwise, look at the whole world. Without Krishna, no one is happy. With all the philanthropic activity, no one is happy. With all the increments of payment, no one is happy. With all the new cars, no one is happy. With all the bigger and bigger houses, no one is happy. Just go up to any big house in the South Bombay area. In fact, they have more suicide rate, more family breakdowns, more divorces, everything. This is the illusion of this material world. We sometimes depend on this material energy, material technology for our advancement, for our pleasure. We think this material technology will give us pleasure. A comfortable car or AC will give us joy or pleasure. What it will give us? It is survey conducted. It told that in 1940 to 1990, India's population increased 2 times. And because of the gift of technology, the hospitals increased 40 times. Is it advancement? And all the hospitals are full. Always full. So population increased only 2 times. Actually, by the advancement of technology, the number of hospitals should go down. Less people should become sick. But people are becoming more sick. We should not place our hopes on any material assets for becoming happy. It's completely illusion or a dream or fantasy. If we think by any material assets which are pertaining to this body will make us happy. They will make you momentarily happy. 1 second, yes. A new car, a new house, an increment or winning a match or what it is will give a momentarily happiness. Or immediately, a load of other pressures will dawn on us. Immediately. Somebody is sick. I am sick. Some appointment. Some paying of credit card. So many things. So many, immediately they will dawn on us. And ultimately, Jivane Parama Laje. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, at the time of death and old age are so big miseries. Therefore, you should understand, if you want to remove all the miseries in this world, no philanthropic activity, no earning of material assets will make us happy. We have to make one short solution. What is real misery in this world? Srila Prabhupada says in one place in Srimad Bhagavatam, real misery, real suffering is not cancer, AIDS, accidents, failures in exams, less money, whatever it is, nothing of this material world. Real misery is forgetfulness of Krishna. In this human life, the real misery is forgetfulness of Krishna. And this truth we should see. One truth we saw in the whole world is everyone is trying to be happy, doing so much hard work for it, but no one is happy. But why can't we see this truth? That those who have Krishna, they are happy. They don't have any material assets, but they have Krishna. And they are happy. It may be a small number of people. There may be only few people or a few hundred people in the whole world who have Krishna. But they are joyful. And no one can disturb their joy. No one can disturb their completely happy state of mind and consciousness. Because they have Krishna. The real misery in this world is forgetting Krishna. And the greatest achievement, Nathe Swartha Gatim He Vishnu. The greatest, and actually no greatest, the real and the only achievement, which is having some substance, is achieving Krishna. Achieving Krishna is real joy, and forgetfulness of Krishna is real misery. If we are forgetfulness of Krishna, any situation in this world will not make us happy. And if we are remembering Krishna, in any situation we will be happy. This is very simple and clear statement which all of us can see, all around our world. But very difficult to digest and accept it. Still we think, oh, by this, let me get this. I will get Krishna till after some time. First I will earn some more money, buy a bigger house, a latest car, and then Krishna I will get. By the end of life, you see. Anta kale cha mam eva. Krishna has said. No, I will not remember Krishna. Therefore, Prabhupada explains. Although Krishna says, Anta kale cha mam eva, he says we have to practice from right now. Prabhupada immediately after the translation of the verse, he says, there is no doubt one will go to Krishna. Of course, one must practice before one is overcome by death. So Krishna, yes, Anta kale cha mam eva smaran muktva kalevaram. But you have to start remembering Krishna from right from now. Because of two things. We can't know when the death will come. Some cancerous cell may be growing in our body. Some heart blockages may be happening in our body. Almost 50% blockage might be there. We don't know. Only when it becomes severe, we get some pain. And sometimes we get directly attacked. Some other infections might have overtaken our body. And it may be late when they start symptoms. Secondly, first is death can come any moment. Secondly, if we don't practice now, it's not improbable or difficult. It will be impossible to remember Krishna at time of death. We can't say, no, I will not remember. At time of death, I will remember. It's impossible. How is it possible? If you are going for exam, if you say, I will not memorize this. I will not read now. Only in the exam, I will remember it automatically. If you don't read it now, if you don't memorize it now, how will you remember at the time of exam? Similarly, we can't give this excuse. Oh, I will remember Krishna at the time of death. It's impossible. Yes, or Napoleon or somebody, he said impossible is a word in foolish dictionary, but this impossible is there. Other things may be not impossible in this material world. You can achieve anything. But you can't achieve Krishna at a time of death without being practiced. One has to practice throughout his life most sincerely, with full effort and endeavor. Then our diseases, then our miseries will go away. Then what to speak of death? We have overcome death right now. What is that verse? Iha yasya hare dasya karmana manasa gira nikhilashapi avastha so jivan mukta se uchyate. One who is Krishna conscious, one who is completely remembering Krishna with full devotion and love, iha, right now he is away from death. He has overcome death. For him, death doesn't make a change at all. Just like here we see Dadichi Muni, he did not even feel the death happening. He even did not feel that. It's described in this verse. He could not perceive how his material body became separated from his self. This Dadichi Muni is just like, while we are chanting, we don't feel how sleep overcomes us. We don't understand. Or while we are listening a lecture in our college or class anywhere, we don't even feel how our mind has gone somewhere else. Because mind is naturally situated over there right now. Right now our mind is naturally attached to material things or sleep. therefore we don't feel the change. For pure devotees, the mind is naturally attached to Krishna and they are unnaturally over here in the material body. So when they go from unnatural to natural, they don't feel the change. Just like we go from awakened state to sleep state. We all feel the change when we get up from sleep. While chanting or even while without chanting, anytime. Anytime when we feel the, when we fall asleep, we don't feel the change. Because we are in so much tamoguna right now that we, it's natural for us to go into sleep state. But when we, can we say, I just don't understand when I woke up today. It doesn't happen. We have to be woken up or something. This is the change. For great devotees who are completely Krishna conscious, they don't feel the change of being in the body just like we don't feel the change of falling asleep. It just happened. I was awake and I fell asleep. For pure devotees, it's like that. I am having a material body. Yes, but I am Krishna conscious. I am having material body, but I am Krishna conscious. And then just the body was left away. It was already left away on the mental level. The body was left away and I just progressed to another, the soul just progressed to another place and most probably to a spiritual world. This is very important. Therefore, those who are on that level, for them death is not something big. It doesn't matter whether they die after 10-20 years or whether they have already overcome death. Iha yasya hare dasse karmana manasa gira nikhila sapyavasthasa jivan mukta se uchyate. This is, sometimes we ask, what is this? How he has conquered death even if he is alive? This is, he has become, for him Krishna consciousness has become so natural. For him Krishna consciousness has become so natural that for death is not pursued by him. Yes, while his death, the heart attack will be there. Not that he will not die with some heart attack or cancer or TB or snake bite or heart failure or brain tumor. Something will happen. Body has to fail. But that body failure will not at all be perceived by that soul why he gives up this body. Just like this example is good. Falling asleep is not at all perceived by us. We just naturally fall asleep. Similarly, without being perceiving what's happening, we just give up this body and proceed straight to the spiritual world. Therefore, we understand, if you want to really become joyful, what do you call it? Anandambudhi vardhanam pratipadam. This is something more I should add. By becoming Krishna conscious, you not only become completely happy and thoroughly satisfied, but Lord Chaitanya is saying, Anandambudhi vardhanam pratipadam. Your state of enjoyment or bliss goes on increasing every second unlimitedly. Anandambudhi vardhanam pratipadam purnamurta svadhanam. That nectar of Krishna consciousness, when it is achieved, you naturally give up your body. And therefore we see great devotees in Vrindavan, what calamities they faced. We just say Putana came and then the Yamuna Arjuna tree fell down and Tunavarta came. Just think, if we are sitting here and great cyclone comes and few of us are picked up by a cyclone. When cyclone comes in this world, hurricanes, a car or two is picked up and it just goes 10-50 feet in the sky, sometimes 100-200 feet, and then falls away, crushed completely. When it said, when Krishna was picked up by Tunavarta, he was raised till the level of heavenly planets. In this way Krishna gave darshan to demigods also. They can see here also, but he wanted to give a close darshan. Yeah, like we are experiencing darshan from far right now. If we go in the temple, we are a little bit having farther, dur darshan. We can see only Lord from a distance. And we all desire, and we are waiting for 2, 3, 4 days that are remaining to go close to the Lord. So yes, demigod takes darshan many times. It is also difficult still. But they take darshan. But Krishna wanted to give them close darshan. So he took that opportunity of Tunavarta. But he was raised till the level of heavenly planets. Just think, some of us, a cyclone comes and some of us are picked up and they are raised. What a great calamity. It's very disturbing, shocking, fearful, dreadful event. Two trees falling without any cause and just Krishna is saved by an inch on both sides. Or small baby, some of you might be having small babies or might have had small babies, all of us. Just think if your baby is on the road and two great heavy container trucks, they just come and just fall off everywhere. And some other just come and your baby is just saved in between the trucks. It might cause you a temporary heart attack. The small child on the highway, in express highway, and two trucks, they just collide and then jump over and then fall off and they just tumble and your child is over there and they just completely dash towards your child and somehow your child is saved by millimeters. Like that. So many incidents have happened one after another in Vrindavan. Every month, every week there was something happening like that. Some demon or other were always coming. Bakasur, Agasur, Shaktasur, something like that. But still, just by looking at the beautiful face of Krishna, just by having Krishna in the midst of them, all the Vrajvasis were not feeling any pain. Then their joy, these pains of this material world became insignificant for them because they had Krishna with them. When we have Krishna with us in our life, this body is forgotten in the bodily pains of any great nature. Generally in our life, pain doesn't come the nature of what is experienced even in Vrindavan. The calamities, catastrophes in our life, sometimes it might happen once a while, once in a life. Like for myself to speak, sometimes I remember many, it was such a calamity actually. It happened when I was in 10th class or something. Maybe I was 17 years old. 17 years back approximately. So it is very clear in my mind. What happened? I was crossing a road in Bombay at Dadar. And I just crossed half the road, came on the divider. And I was about to cross the second half. I just stepped one step down the divider. And actually flash seconds, a speeding tempo just went like this. It just did not touch me. Few millimeters saved. With full speed, it just went. And that moment is still in my mind with full remembrance. And it just happens once in life. Something like that. Sometimes we get some fractures or some swollen head or hand or something. But in Vrindavan, such great calamities were happening every day practically. Or every moment. Or every week or a month. But still, the devotees of Vrindavan did not feel it in any way. They did not even have any little trouble or pain. In fact, they were completely joyful because they had Krishna with them. The positive experience of Krishna consciousness is so powerful that this any negative experience of this world can be easily, if not can be forgotten, they are automatically forgotten. We don't need to do any effort to rise, to forget material pains or miseries. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada says, this is real social work. This is real philanthropy. Many of us might be here and might be interested. What about social work? What about feeding the poor? Yes, devotees do these activities. But we know, therefore Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he told Srila Prabhupada, the problem of India getting independent, and we see it happened. Indians were exploited by the British, but they are more 100 times exploited today. Yes, today we are independent India and our own people are in the government and they are exploiting us more than what British did. So what did independent make a solution? Did we get free from exploitation? Did we get free from corruption? It has increased 100 times after independence. So therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur could say with full strength that this change of government, all these things, is not going to change the material situation in any way. The material situation can be changed only by becoming Krishna conscious. And we see the practical solution of it. Here, Dadichi Muni is there. He is completely above material situations. No influence of the body at all. Just giving of the body. For us to give up a clothes is difficult. When we are having a new cloth, today we are born a new cloth, and we are walking on the street, and we are naturally become a little straight. and then in the best bus or rickshaw there is some hanging piece of iron or a nail, and then the new cloth gets drawn off. The first day, we feel such a new cloth has gone off. Dadichi Muni is giving up his most dear body as if nothing is happening, in completely satisfied, joyful state. Body is the most dear item to us. Can we trade if someone comes and shows a gun? Give me your new cloth or give me your body. Anyone who is attached here, okay, I will give you my body, but I will not give up my cloth. Someone comes and puts a gun. Give me 10 lakh rupees or give me your body. Is there anyone who says, okay, take 10 lakh rupees, but I will not give up my, I give up my body, but keep 10 lakh rupees. We will not barter anything for our body in this world. Any material achievement we will have, we will not barter anything. Lakhs of rupees, a big empire. The last thing which we will give up is the body. We will keep the money, the family, the wealth, the house, the property, everything. We will give up everything, but keep the body. But Dadichi Muni is giving the body itself with complete joy and satisfaction. And therefore we should understand this state of spiritual life is what is our aim. It is our aim, just like George Harrison. He writes, we all love Krishna. Only thing is, some of us are aware of it and some of us are not aware of it. Similarly, we are all looking for Krishna because we are looking for joy. Anandamayo abhyasat. Our natural state is to be happy and joyful. There is nothing wrong to find it. We are naturally anandamayo abhyasat. But we are looking at it in the wrong way, in the bodily assets. In the body and the bodily assets. We can become completely happy and joyful if we have Krishna. And that state is completely out of this world. Great saints like Narad Muni, Vrajvasis, Dwarkavasis, Ayodhyavasis, they also appear to be mad actually. But they are experiencing, a devotee sometimes appear to be suffering, but they are experiencing a higher state of joy. Narad Muni is a description. Sometimes it appears that devotees and non-devotees are similar externally. But the devotees are relishing unlimited joy within their hearts. And this process, how to achieve Krishna, is very clearly and emphatically told by Lord Shri Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, many places. Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavan yaschasmi tatvata. Tato man tatvata gnatva vishate tad anantaram. Bhaktya means by devotional service. Only by pure devotional service one can know Krishna as he is. Tatvatah. Fully. And in that way he can enter and release the pastimes of Lord Shri Krishna. Nothing else can give us devotional service. There is no material criteria to achieve devotional service. Your intelligence, somebody say, I am PhD. You may be PhD in your physics or mathematics, but that is not at all qualification to become a devotee. You may be very strong. I can lift 200 kgs of weight. That is not at all qualifications to become a devotee. You may be very beautiful. That is not at all. We are devotees like Jatayu, the most low birth, monkeys, Kubja. They did not have any material things with them. But they had devotion. And therefore, we see Jatayu's case. Lord Ram personally performed the Shraddha ceremony. A Shraddha ceremony by the customs is to be performed by the son to the father. Lord Ram did that for Jatayu, who was a vulture, not even a human being, not even a Brahman or a Shudra or animal or a bird. He was the lowest amongst the bird. There are many beautiful and higher birds like peacock and parrot. The vulture is the lowest amongst the bird, but still Jatayu being a vulture. But because he was a devotee, Lord Ram performed the Shraddha ceremony for him. No material bodily assets or qualifications is a qualification to perform devotional service. And neither any bodily disqualification is a disqualification to perform devotional service. Sometimes we feel, I am not very intelligent. You see, we feel, I can't speak nicely. Where did Gita, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, only when you speak nicely you can become my devotee. I can't distribute books nicely. Krishna never says all these external, because we are on the bodily level, sometimes we also go on the bodily level to church devotees. I can't sing nicely. Or I can't, you know, influence people nicely. Or I can't anything. I can't cook nicely. Or I can't dress the deities nicely. So Krishna says by devotion. Krishna never says, if you can cook nicely, you can come to me and you cannot. Or if you can speak nicely or sing nicely or manage nicely, or if you cannot, you can manage nicely, you are not qualified. No, nothing. Krishna has not given any, because these are the qualifications of our material body, which can be and should be used in Krishna's service. But having material qualifications is not a qualification to perform devotional service. And having bodily disqualifications is not a disqualification to perform devotional service. In fact, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he is such an advanced devotee. While writing a commentary on, I think, 89th chapter of 10th canto, that chapter, Prayers by Personified Vedas. I don't know the number of the chapter, but Prayers by Personified Vedas. While writing comment on the chapter, he uses a verse, Mama Ratnamani something. He says, to write commentary on 10th canto of Bhagavatam and these chapters is like dealing with jewelry. And I know nothing about jewelry and diamonds. Still, I am trying to write commentary, and people may laugh on me. But still I am happy that I am at least becoming a source for their pleasure. I am at least becoming that the devotees will be happy by laughing at me. Oh, see, he is like dwarf trying to touch the moon. He is trying to write commentary on the 10th canto. So apparently Vishwanath Thakur was not disqualified, but his mood is I may be disqualified to write commentary, but I am serving devotees in some way. At least they are getting joy from me by laughing at me. That is his mood. At least they are getting joy for me because I am becoming their laughing stock. Suddenly his commentaries are super excellent, and the whole thing is a different topic in itself, how his excellent commentaries are there. But his mood is, I may be disqualified, but that is being used in Krishna's service. Let people become laughing stock for me. I can't preach nicely. Where did Krishna say, only by preaching to thousands of people you will come back to me? Whatever you preach that much. Krishna has given you this body, and Krishna wants only to preach 10 people through you. Preach it. Why are you thinking Krishna, you should preach only 1,000 and 10,000 and 20,000? That is Krishna to decide, and he has decided. If Krishna has given you body to preach to 20,000, preach to 20,000. We have this example of Hanumanji and the squirrel in the building of squirrel was thinking, oh, I can't throw big stones in the ocean. He was joyfully performing, he or she, whatever it is. Squirrel was joyfully performing. The squirrel was joyfully performing whatever it could do the best. It was not thinking, oh, I cannot sweep big stones. In fact, Hanumanji's mistake was pointed out. In fact, what happened was Hanumanji's mistake was pointed out. Hey Hanuman, you think you are a great person because you are throwing big stones? Lord Ram said, for me Hanumanji and squirrel are equal. Why in our devotional life we should think on the bodily level, I can do these things or I cannot do these things? We should not take the position either of Hanumanji or squirrel. And then only we can be happy. This chant and be happy is a great secret when we give up Hanumanji's position and also give up squirrel's position. Otherwise, this chant and be happy will be great mystery. If we maintain any of the position, either of Hanumanji or like if we think, oh, I cannot do like this. We should do what we can do. Krishna has decided what we should do. Are we the decider? Krishna has decided he has given us a particular body. Do it. Don't think what I cannot do, what I can do. Do what you can to serve Krishna. And that will make you completely happy and satisfied. If you think what I can do, or if you think what I cannot do, if you think I am white or I am black, like the Bhakti Devi Maharaj case, it will be misery, lamentation, either way. we have to give up this both consciousness, what I can do and what I cannot do. Do what you can do for Krishna. And then we can experience full meaning of this statement, chant and be happy. Otherwise we'll chant, but we are chanting and thinking, oh, I can do this in Krishna's service. Oh, I cannot do this in Krishna's service. Oh, see, I can do this, he cannot do this. What he and he? This body cannot do this. And this body can do. Soul has nothing to do with it. Soul can become Krishna conscious and become that. And that is what we see the level of Dadichi Muni over here. He could give up his body completely because he was completely unattached to the body. Nothing. The change is happening. Insignificant change happening in his life. If we are completely engrossed in serving Krishna, the bodily changes will happen. But they will not influence us because we have got a positive experience of Krishna consciousness. And we have a live example of Dadichi Muni over here in front of us. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. We are just few minutes. Yay! If anyone has any comments or question, Vraj Vihari Prabhu is giving some comments.
Hare Krishna. Madan Gopal Prabhu, thank you very much for a wonderful class. I had one doubt. This point which you mentioned about Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur also wanting to give pleasure to Vaishnavas, and then you compared that squirrel and Hanuman, and we many times give such examples of saying that we should not compare, and we should just do whatever best we can for Krishna. This is one very important point. However, we also hear that Prabhupada also says, and we have heard from many senior devotees, that as a devotee makes advancement, he constantly feels that I'm not doing much for Krishna. I have to do more. And he has this feeling of repentance and disqualification. And so my question is, how we can desire to do more and at the same time ensure that we are not competing with others and we don't get develop the tendency, because that will disturb us. So how can we have a balance? How can we draw a line that we don't compete with other devotees and at the same time we try to do more and more for Krishna?
It's not one day's endeavor, because you are talking of a state of a pure devotional service. But at least we should know that we have to give our best to Krishna's service. And as we were just saying, we should not compare with others. In the sense, we should know everyone is acting under according to Krishna's plan. If we are acting according to Krishna's plan, we say, Krishna is the plan maker, we are not the doer. But still, we should try our best to do. This Krishna's plan should not make us lazy. Oh, it's Krishna's plan that I should not do devotional service. It's not, or I should do only 1 hour of devotional service every 12 hours. No, Krishna's plan is in the result, and our plan is in the endeavors. Krishna says, Satatam Kirtayanto Mam. Try to remember me always. But Krishna never says, what is the result that you will issue 100 books? We try to concentrate on the results and not on the endeavors. Krishna, everywhere in the Bhagavad Gita, is telling you of the endeavors. Always remember me, serve me always. Krishna never says, serve me always means you have to do 5 RTs a day. You have to have that capacity. Krishna says, serve me always, whatever capacity you have. So in this material world, because we are having this past condition, we think Krishna's instruction is a term of the results. I can do so much book decision. Or I can do so much. Krishna has never said that in the Bhagavad Gita. He has said your endeavor. Always think of me. Surrender unto me. Serve me 24 hours. Chant my holy names 24 hours. Krishna never says, if you chant so much or like that. In this material world, we do this all. And therefore in the spiritual world also there is competition. But when somebody is better than us, we feel enthused to perform better. When somebody is better in the spiritual world than us, we feel enthused to perform better. Because we are not looking at the results. We are looking at the endeavors. So in this material world, we have to stop looking at the results. Karmanne vadhi karaste ma phaleshu kadachana. Krishna says, give up results. But what we attached to doing your duty. So we have to concentrate on how I can improve my Krishna consciousness rather than how I can see the, how I can improve the results of my Krishna consciousness. Because we are result oriented in this world. In this world everything is result oriented. We study and then you want the results. You want to be there. So in this material world we should concentrate, and that is what it says, tatte no kampa sushikshamano bhunja. The devotee patiently waits for the results. He doesn't think, oh, when will Krishna show me mercy? That is not at all the idea. He is ready to wait patiently for millions of births in this world to get the result of Krishna, like pure devotions in the spiritual world. But he is never making a second's laxity or unattentiveness to be Krishna conscious. So this can be this state can be achieved only when we turn our attention to our endeavor to become Krishna consciousness and not focus on the results. Maybe some other devotees can. I saw Sri Rama Sakha Prabhu first. If you comment, you speak.
Question.
Okay. Okay, you speak.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
Hare Bol. I just a humble comment to what you spoke, because I remember His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj making something on this same point. He said that Vasudev the Vipra was a leper. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him and he became very beautiful. So he became frightened, thinking that now I will become proud. So, you know, there will be envy towards others because I will be able to do much more, I will become proud. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, he told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that I don't want this, don't make me so beautiful. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that how you can save yourself. He said, constantly chant the holy names and serve the Vaishnavas, and that way you will not become proud. So, if...
Thank you very much. Before question, we'll chant once. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, after hearing the first part of your lecture, it seems that giving up the material possessions is not a very big difficult thing, but giving up the material body is a very big issue or big thing. But someone may argue that giving up the body is not a big thing, because there are many people in this world who gave up their material bodies, their lives, and still giving up their bodies for some nation cause or some family protection or any reason. And they are doing this without any remorse. At least externally it appears like that. So what is the big thing in that giving of their Dadiji's body for Devi God's cause? Or what inspires them to do such a sacrifice?
Because that is also a material cause, to speak on the technical pure terms. They might give up giving a body in this material world for a highest cause, like for the country or something. But still, giving a body for the country is also a material thing. It's extended selfishness, I and my country. And why it is selfishness? Because we are thinking of a particular tract of land where we are born. Somebody may give up a similar body for Sri Lanka or Bangladesh or Nepal or Pakistan, and we may criticize him. But his consciousness is same as our consciousness. Their motivation is same, material. What was exactly your question? Yodhi.
What inspired these
people to give their body?
Yeah.
Actually, everyone is giving their body for sense gratification.
But they are not doing sense gratification.
You work so hard staying in Bombay. People go to software, sitting in front of computer for 12 hours. They are giving you their body. Yeah. If you sit in front of computer like this for 12 hours, for 20 years, your body is given up. If you travel in local trains for so many years and breathe such a... The point is, we are inspired to do all these troubles which give up, which is going to destroy our body for some sense gratification.
Here there is no sense gratification after giving up their body.
Sense gratification of seeing my country independent. Sense gratification of something like that. That is sense gratification. My country is becoming independent. But why it is material sense gratification? Because country became independent, but more exploited people came to rule the country. therefore it is a material solution. Country became independent, it is a failure. Because more exploited people are ruling the country. So therefore their solution was a material one. Yes, country become independent. Just see, in India, British are exploiting, Indians are more exploiting. So it is a failure. There is more degradation in India than what it was during British time. People have given up Vedic culture more now than what they gave up during British and the Mughal time. So therefore the change was a failure. The change should be spiritual one, that is to spread Krishna consciousness. That was Bhakti Siddhanta. So the material motivation is, I want to see my country independent. That is the motivation. My country. My country means whose country? Your body's country. And that is the material motivation. Why not you want to see Pakistan independent? Their independence is equally important, at least for the people staying over there. And if you have been born in Pakistan, then yes, therefore it is a material conception. I want to see my country independent. These things will happen. One last question will take off. Shri Dama Sakha Prabhu. He raised his hand quite some time before.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you for a very powerful class. You mentioned during a lecture about this point, and it's at a very relevant time also, about getting a raise, you know, in the office, you know, and how people are still dissatisfied even after getting raise. Actually, from a, you know, for people who are working, all of us who are working in offices, this actually is a very, very, you know, sore point, you know, and no matter what happens, you know, even as devotees, because we are so much engrossed in our work, day to day, we are working like donkeys. So we do tend to get attached to the end result, you know. We feel, like after having worked so much also, I got only this much, you know. So even if you get a raise, like you said, we are not satisfied. We are never satisfied. So what should our consciousness as devotees be? How should we conduct ourselves when, you know, when this comes upon us, you know, whether it is, whether we get what we want or whether we don't get what we want, what should our consciousness be and how we should conduct ourselves as devotees amongst others who are observing us very carefully? What should our...
Few points. One cannot act artificially. So, whatever state of Krishna consciousness we are, we should try to advance step by step. Second thing, in material world, we can never get what we want. But even if we get, our wants increase. So always, that is lamentation. And therefore, increment is what we want. But when we get it, our wants are increased. Before the fifth pay commission was, established, there are already holdings for the sixth pay commission on the railway tracks, I saw it. And they are doing it, put in sixth pay commission. Before that will be established, there will be holding. So, in material world, we can never get what we want. Because it is not. We want Krishna, actually. As George Harrison said, we are all looking for Krishna. We don't know it. But still, there is one good point which I was thinking to read over here from Srila Prabhupada's purport for devotees' life. For one who is all, this is for non-devotee, who is always meditating on sense gratification, his material life, although lacking, does not go away. His exists some... I'll just read the essence. It's a big one. It will take 5 minutes. The whole point Srila Prabhupada is making... This material life is like a bad horror dream. It is when we are dreaming a bad horror, terrific dream, we are getting disturbed even in the sleep state. We are sweating or so many others, we may shout or move around. And when we get up, sometimes the lingerings of the dream remain for some time. Even if we get up, we feel fearful. We know it's a dream. Is it not? When we get up, we know it's a dream. But still that some lingerings of dream remain. Or snakes. Or something. Tiger. Or something. Whatever it is. A loss of job. Or my death. Or death of a family person. Something. We saw it in the dream. But that fear remains for some time. In a similar way, for practicing devotees, sadhana, sadhak bhaktas like us. For one who is completely engrossed in sense gratification, he is like... fearful stage in the dream. He can never get out of it. He is always getting fearful dreams. Anything that. But for devotees who are on the sadhana stage are woken up. They are practicing devotional service. But still for some time, some lingering, some memories of fearful stage will remain. But at least we have woken up. Similarly, as practicing devotees, some material attachments like they, some desires will remain and will influence us. And as we progress step by step, as we go on continuously chant holy names, hear the message again and again, what I spoke today, you might have all heard before, most of it, or almost. But still we have to hear it again and again, because we have not realized it. And even after realization, we have to hear it. So, this, if we keep on continuously practicing Krishna consciousness, and we go on hearing, we can artificially behave on an unattached way, as you are describing. We can artificially behave. That will lead us into more pain and mental misery. But at the same time, we have to desire for that state. And slowly, slowly, step by step, endeavor. Once I met Radhat Maharaj and I asked that it seems that pure devotional service is very far off. And we are very far off from that. He said, yes, we are like dwarf trying to touch the moon. Moon is so where, we just don't know, so far off. But still, like dwarf, we should just keep on trying to touch the moon. And by constant endeavors, we'll one day touch the moon. Similarly, we should understand and accept the fact that right now I am not on the pure devotional service stage. And I am being influenced by this increment and all these things, which we understand is not actually a cause of my joy. As you said, it's a momentary joy. Immediately after that, that vaporizes. So, we have to constantly associate with devotees, chant holy names, and try and strive and desire sincerely to reach on a higher level of Krishna consciousness. And due course of time, we all will reach. But while we are not on that level, no one of us, none of us can behave artificially on some level of Krishna consciousness for a long time. Better to accept whatever level we are, honestly, and then try to progress step by step. I will end. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki.
Hare Krishna, this is an